understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd, we're still the one. 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app.
We've been together since
when? Coming up, we got Rick Horro. Wallace will have a sports update in a moment. You know, it's 5 o'clock. Tomorrow's going to be 5 o'clock on Friday. I'm getting all these texts about everybody's worried that Chris is gone tomorrow, and we're going to go through this Miley Cyrus controversy again. I'm just going to have Rick play it at 5.
It's not that hard.
I'm just going to have him play it at 5.
It's not that hard.
Well, I leave it up to Rick.
And Rick's going to have to play his little Friday thing on at 5:30, right? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Or you
whatever
keep
works.
It. Just, you got to play Miley in the 5 o'clock hour. The people need to know. Okay, the weekend is here.
Yeah.
And Craig, to answer your question that you asked me during the break that nobody heard, Bryson DeChambeau was arguing about what constitutes a burrowing animal hole on a golf course and what does not.
Right.
Because he was trying to improve his lie because his ball was resting up against some loose sticks.
Yeah,
that he thought some beaver put there on purpose a few days ago, or what?
He was trying to get out on a technicality. That's all.
Is that what that was? I had the volume down, Chris. I'm glad you said, because I couldn't figure out what was going on.
I know. I asked Chris. I said, "What is he complaining about now?"
He was trying to, because he got a bad lie in the pine straw. Was up against some sticks, so he was trying to use the rule book to his advantage. Fine, no problem. But the fourth time you ask, and the rules official tells you the same answer for the fourth time, just grab the club and hit the ball.
Does he think because he's all swole now, he can just intimidate people into thinking whatever he wants?
I'm starting to get on board with Paige Sporanic.
Yeah, she ripped him, called him a D word.
Yeah, I know.
Dummy?
No, big four dummy? Four letter, one syllable.
Yes, dummy, yeah.
Rhymes with Rick.
Oh,
I thought you said
it.
I thought you went, you know what? I didn't even think about that. I was going the D-bag route, even though it's not four
letters. Syllable. Yeah. One syllable. One syllable. Time now for Sports Center Rundown. Here's Chris.
Way to go, guys. Just press the limit here. All right, the SEC is joining the Big Ten and the Pac-12. They will play a conference-only schedule. It will be 10 games, and the start date has been pushed back to September 26th, I think, somewhere around there. 26th, 28th, yes. Something like that.
26.
Who cares? We got NBA hoops tonight. It starts at 6:30 on TNT. The Pelicans taking on the Jazz. Zion Williamson game time decision. 8:30 on 99.3 ESPN. We will have the Clippers and Lakers.
All right, very good. Rick Horro.
I just tweeted out his little tirade because it's already Will Brinson has it from CBS Sports. He has a 12-second clip. I just tweeted it out.
That
he looks like a
turnaround.
Dink.
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, can we update our Twin Peaks Twitter poll? We had a couple questions up there.
Yeah.
You don't have access to it, do you?
I do.
Okay, because Chris has got to call
up. What do you mean I don't have access to it?
Chris has got to call up Rick, and you know it's a whole thing.
So. No, I got access to it right now. First one, will you watch the NBA tonight? No, 50.8%.
Oh, it's close.
Surprising.
Yes, 49.2%.
That's close.
And who would you rather start at a franchise, a quarterback, Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? Patrick Mahomes, over 120 votes, 92.5%.
That's one of our highest.
To 7.5%. Wow.
And that's all because the NFL Network did their top 100 players. Lamar Jackson was number one. Patrick Mahomes was fourth. In fact, he was the third quarterback. Russell Wilson was number two. So that debated that led into a big conversation in the 2 o'clock hour. So
this SEC ACC scenario that has happened here between yesterday and today, it's really interesting. I'll
give a quick recap because people are just getting in the cars; they have no idea.
The SEC has voted today, and it's official to go to just a 10-game conference schedule only, so no crossover with the ACC. At all. So the ACC right now, at least, still has the plus one. But what's confusing about the whole thing is how the five families, the Power Five conferences, weren't all on the same page. And we brought this up, Craig. We've all brought it up. It certainly seems like I had a couple of guys say it looks like the ACC threw an olive branch out to the SEC and it got ignored.
Yeah.
I wonder how that – I think the ACC is going to be forced to take away their plus one.
SEC's ducking them.
Well,
they're afraid.
Well, they kind of are.
ACC football.
They might be. I mean, do the
no, but it's a, but it's not what, so much the.
What if the Florida
it's
Gators,
about the rivalries? Yeah. The rivalries that aren't going to take place.
What if the Florida Gators are ranked fourth in the country? Okay, they're getting ready to play in the SEC championship game, but they got to go play arch rival Florida State, which most likely Florida State would lose that game. But you never know. Or no, you could get injured. I mean, when you got a condensed season and it's conference, and by the way, Florida is going to pick up games with A&M and Alabama under this scenario. It's going to be murder's row. They don't want to accidentally trip up themselves at the end of the season against Florida State. The Florida State game means nothing to Florida. So I think when Chris says the SEC is dodging the ACC, not to make it sound like that, but they kind of are.
They are kind of. It certainly seems that way a little bit.
Well, what good, apart from the, you know, the tradition of it and all that, what good does the SEC going out and playing another conference do to the SEC schools, right? Because if we get to the end of the year,
gives them a chance to hurt themselves.
If we get to the end of the year, and it's the scenario that Pete and I threw out last hour, right? Mm-hmm. An undefeated versus a one loss in the SEC championship game. The one loss beats the undefeated. Now the SEC is going to go, guys, look at the last 15 years of college football. Mm-hmm. Year in, year out, we're the deepest, we're the most top-heavy, we're the best at the bottom of the conference. Put the most players in the league. Any measurable statistic, we're the best.
Yeah.
We're the best this year. We need to have two teams in the college football playoff.
No, and I don't disagree with that. But I do think that it's not a great look for the SEC ignoring this. That's all.
I don't know. I think it's okay, Pete. It's force majeure.
Oh, it's okay.
Nobody's criticizing the SEC for dodging the ACC when you got to play your own conference only. I mean, that's been the one criticism of some SEC schools. But
just for the rivalries that I mean, you got to Clemson, South Carolina have played since 1908. I mean, that kind of stinks. And it also could. It could help or hurt. I mean, it could say Clemson loses. Well, South Carolina's not going to help them. But say, I mean, if a Florida State's on the precipice, say they play at the end of the season, which they normally would, and it's, right. I don't know, it could make a difference for some of the ACC teams.
Clemson could lose to South Carolina. It's risky. I don't think. What are you laughing at?
We just got one of the funniest texts I've ever seen. Right. The Big Quinn. Here's the text. Did you take Daddy's phone? Come here. Don't you run away from me. Come here. You better give me back my phone. Don't you dare. It's official to throw it. No jet. Look what he did to me. He did. He cracked the screen of my phone. Can't believe you really. It's voice to text. His kid took his phone. Grabbed it, threw it, cracked the screen, and this is him yelling at the kid or talking to the wife about it.
Congrats to the Big Quinn. No F-bombs in there in talking to the child.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That's a tough day.
I mean, I'm sorry about your phone, but
I didn't swear.
It's
I think that's
funny.
Under control.
That's pretty funny.
I didn't know what that was. Thank you for the interpretation.
Wow. Somebody asked if the Miami FSU game is still in play. Yes, it is. It'll be at Hard Rock.
All right. Good. That's something. So I actually believe Chris is talking to Rick Harrell, our sports business guru, who is with us on the line now. Rick, how are you today?
Hey, Rick.
Okay. I was starting to cry because it was like 5:00. Yeah. And I got no call, and I figured, what did I do wrong? But I'm sure it was me. It wasn't you.
Right.
Something happened.
Yeah, look at your caller history. We called you earlier. But it's okay.
But, you know, in this political environment, the first instinct always is to blame somebody else, right? So there you
true.
Go.
True. That's
yeah,
true.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We've been spending most of our time today talking about the college football schedules as the ACC and the SEC are figuring out, plus one, conference only, the whole deal. Doesn't seem like they're all on the same page. And if there was ever a time for there to be a need for a guru to tie it all together and bring all the mob families together for a similar decision, this would be it. This is a mess.
Yeah, well, it's the right time for it in one way, but it's also not the right time for it in another, meaning – if you spend all your time trying to organize and herd the cats, then there will be another major coronavirus spike circumstance next week that scares all the cats and they run out of the pen.
Yeah.
And you got to go herd them again.
Yeah.
So I know that the NCAA's plan to kick the can down the road was not exactly the most popular thing in the world. One of our ESPN partners and brethren, Paul Feinbaum, we do a segment every Wednesday, Tuesday, and of course he's in Charlotte, but his hot seat is Birmingham. And, of course, everybody in the Southeastern Conference said, what's wrong? You know, we can play tomorrow. Well, No, you can't, because you need somebody to play against. And so the whole idea of waiting until the absolute last minute and letting all the pundits and everybody jockeying around is controlled chaos, which under normal circumstances is not good. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, right now, it's the only answer. Now, if we're still talking about how non-leadership everything is at the end of August, we're in real trouble.
Yeah.
We do have a little bit of time, but we're running out of it.
Well, I mean, the Big Ten was first, Pac-12 soon follow. Why not just I'm really surprised, Rick, that the commissioners of the Power Five just didn't say, okay, we're just going to go to a conference 10-game only schedule, and we see the ACC go to one division. I wonder if all of the conferences are going to go to one division when this is all said and done. But they didn't seem to be on the same page, or the Big Ten was accused of jumping the gun first. Why? But do you think the ACC, with its plus one, was trying to was hoping that the SEC would follow suit, and obviously that didn't happen today. Does one side or the other look bad in this at all, in your opinion?
Look, everybody is looking at everybody else. Do you remember the madhouse, what was it, about 8 years ago now, around conference realignment? So everybody was looking at everybody else about grabbing teams, and is it the right time to grab teams, and Maryland, what are you doing in the Big Ten?
Right.
Rutgers, what are you doing in the Big Ten? Well, you know, everybody's looking around. So it's the same kind of thing. These are all brothers in arms, but they're also competitors. And so they're all looking for the last-minute wiggle room. And you know, about the 10 games only in the conference, well, here's my answer to that. If you can wait a couple of weeks and keep the likelihood of the extra games open, then do it. The problem is, I think there's a very small chance that happens across the board, and some would say, let's just lower expectations and get on with it. I think we'll be getting to that in the next week or two.
Rick, who acquiesced to who in the ACC regarding Notre Dame? Did Notre Dame have no other choice but to join the ACC, or did the ACC have no other choice but to let them in for this 1 year?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, which is the way deals are made. Both sides are equally unhappy or happy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wasn't in the room, so you could only speculate that there was an attempt to try to get Notre Dame to stay in on a multi-year commitment and use the leverage to say, no, not just 1 year, you can't do it. Notre Dame said, you know, try me, and then they ended up with the 1 year. I think it would have been nicer and more stable to get them every year. And most people don't realize that Notre Dame's already in the ACC, just not, you know, not for football.
Yeah.
If Notre Dame did pull out of the other sports, I like Notre Dame being in the ACC for basketball, for lacrosse, for, you know, all the sports that they're in for. You know, you'd have liked more years, but it didn't happen, and that's what negotiation is all about.
And this is maybe an obscure question, but how does it – I've been bringing up BYU, and now they just lost another game with Missouri. So that's six games on their schedule that have been canceled. I don't know. If you were the chancellor of that school, what would you do? How do you get people to make a schedule here when you need like five more opponents now?
BYU was excited about the freedom of being independent. Well, that's great until you look around and there's nobody to play. So you scramble. You continue to try to scramble. You pick off teams that have extra games. You make unholy alliances for a year or so, and you hope it doesn't happen every year. You know, there was a time where there were a lot of teams that really wanted to break away and do things on their own. Remember all of the University of Texas and the Longhorn Network and what that was going to be. And now everybody's back in the fold, and nobody wants to take that risk. And, you know, during the pandemic, there is this, you know, thought that you got to come back and you got to protect yourself. And, you know, they may end up playing some D2 schools, but they don't generate revenue because we're not talking about fans. We're talking about television.
Right.
So it's really up to their own individual network and how they can get some advertising money.
Rick Horro is with us onto baseball, which is started. It's underway, and I'd say 95% of it's been pretty good. I've enjoyed watching it, except the Marlins just what the hell happened there? I mean,
Well, first of all, it goes from really good to really tragic. The really good is I didn't know what to expect starting on Friday, but I've been really surprised and pleasantly so by not only the quality of play, but the fact that I can finally sit and watch pitchers and catchers and the battles and, as a baseball fan, really watch baseball. And I loved the idea because the Cubs are still on a hitting tear. I don't know if you saw it Sunday against the Brewers, but Wilson Contreras hit a dart in left field at the bleachers that decapitated this poor cardboard cutoff head. All right, that cutout's head. It blew it up.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm sorry, but I needed to fully disclose. I'm representing the cutout on behalf of his family, and I'm going to sue the Cubs. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I'm telling you now. Okay, I'm just letting you know. But listen, the bottom line is it's been really, really good quality, better than they thought. People are tinkering with the fan stuff. I don't want to see the, you know, Cub blue with the fake fans, then you push a button and it's that vomit Brewers yellow and everybody gets excited about the changes.
Yeah.
I want to see the empty stadiums and I want to see focus on play.
Yeah.
And I think I want to do that. I think I want to see that for hockey and basketball, and then we'll see about football later on. So that's great stuff. And then, you know, what happened in the Marlins? I don't know. But my question to everybody, including people inside baseball, is what specific violations of protocol did the Marlins suffer, and was this just bad luck? And if it's specific, random violations of protocol that caused the 19-plus, then the sky's the limit as far as throwing the book at them.
Oh.
I mean, if the commissioner suspends Joe Kelly for 8 days and he's in a grumpy mood anyway, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the Marlins as a team.
Yeah.
If that's the only team that throws off the rest of the schedule. I wouldn't want to be Derek Jeter or any of the team organizers right now if there are meetings with Rob Manfred.
By the way, that Cubs triple play, I think, was bogus yesterday. I think he trapped the ball. What do you think?
So do I.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I went to sleep when it was 2-0 because I figured Hendricks, you know, the way Sonny Gray was pitching, they weren't going to score 2 runs. Yeah, they didn't score 2. They scored 7. My God, 7? Oh, but the Reds scored 12.
Yeah.
Oh, great bullpen. Bullpen.
Nice.
Yeah, how about that?
Yep.
Well, overall, I've been a little critical of Rob Manfred this week because I think in that 113-page dossier about protocol, I don't know if he was ready for what happened to the Marlins. I'm not sure he looks great right now. And, yes, it's only the Marlins and now the Phillies and the Toronto, and that series has been postponed. And I understand why. But and then you throw in that part of it for me. And then not suspending, only fining Dusty Baker from that little brouhaha the other night. And no Astros, who all left the bench to come over. I thought it was a bad look for Rob Manfred again.
Yeah, well, listen, it's old as the hills to talk about penalizing or suspending people, right or wrong. And I get that it should have been different. I totally agree with you. On the COVID issue, I want to reserve judgment a little bit relative to Rob Manfred until we know exactly what went on in the Marlins clubhouse, because I'm and with the Marlins as a team. Because if the Marlins brought it on themselves, and again, I have no way of knowing that, I'm going to say it's not Rob Manfred's fault, but he's going to pay for the fact that 29 teams will be ready to move forward come Monday or Tuesday after the Phillies and Blue Jays situation gets resolved, but the 30th team may gum up the works. And I actually feel sorry for all the work that's put in to date.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA starts tonight. The NHL will follow. So far, no positive cases, so whatever they're doing is working. Obviously, the bubble is in effect for the NBA, and the two-city bubble for the NHL seems to be the way to go. But I'm excited about there being 2 NBA games tonight.
Yeah, and I'm driving between St. Augustine and Jacksonville. I'm going to tee it up tomorrow at TPC. Safe, obviously. And then I'm going to head to the bubble. I'm going to knock on the door. I'm going to say, look, Florida's really unsafe. It's just me and my dog. I'm sitting here in my car. Will you let me in? I want to be in the bubble. Please, can I live in the bubble? And we'll see what happens. You think they'll let me in the bubble?
You might have to wait somewhere 14 days first.
Yeah, I'll wait, man. I'll wait the 14 days, okay? I'll do whatever.
All right.
Just to get in the bubble. I need to be in the bubble.
And just real quick in the NHL, as I know you did a little video about the Seattle team, the Krakens. I love that. A lot of people know what a Kraken is. It's a mythical creature. But you talked about, you know, what tremendous strides that organization has made in such a short period of time.
I interviewed Peter Lukko today, who is part of the Oakview Group, and he was a, you may remember, he was the Philadelphia Flyers guy with Ed Snyder. Then he was with the Florida Panthers for a while, and he's also getting the arena done at Belmont Park with the Islanders. And they've done a really amazing job. And not only that, that color scheme, the name, you know, there's a Kraken who lives with the sea monster in Loch Lomond. The Loch Ness Monster, and I've hit golf balls into, and I saw both of those monsters, so they exist. And the bottom line of this all is, you got a crazy nickname team playing in an arena that Jeff Bezos has spent naming money on, but he didn't want it to be the Amazon Arena, he wanted it to be something cool, and it's called the Climate Pledge Arena, remember. So you got a great new team with a great new marketing deal, playing with a great nickname in an amazing arena with an incredible cause attached to it. The whole situation's really cool.
That's good.
That's great.
Good. All right, my man. Be safe. Have fun golfing tomorrow. Don't hit too many in the water.
And watch on the 17th.
Yeah.
No, 17th. I mean, there's little Krakenettes like all over the place. So I got to make sure that I hit it.
It's only 137 yards. That should be a wedge for you.
It's a wedge for me over the green. Yeah,
I'll
top it over the green.
137 yards is a gimme for him. He's like, go ahead, pick it up.
I'll let you know next week. 6 feet social distancing. That's all I got to say.
All right. Sounds good, Rick. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Bye. All right, that's Rick Horror, our sports business guru. A lot of interesting things he talked about. We can come back and revisit. Also, tomorrow morning, those of you that wake up, and whether over the years you've listened to Mike and Mike or Golic and Wingo, tomorrow is the final show for Mike Golic. Signing off ESPN Radio after a 20-year career. Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning for the last time, 6 to 10 a.m. on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and on the 99.3 ESPN app. By the way, Mike Greenberg will be joining us on Monday to talk about his new show as he rejoins ESPN Radio, and he'll be our lead-in for an hour before we take the airwaves at 2 o'clock every day starting on August 17th. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. This is getaway hour for Chris. He's gone tomorrow. Still, we'll see if we play Miley at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Just got off the phone with Rick Horrow and... pretty strong in his criticism of the Marlins. Like, everybody else is juggling chainsaws to try and do the right thing and just about pulled it off. And then what's the reason the Marlins had such a disastrous effect with COVID and let it spread through their team? Did they break protocol or not? And he's suggesting some pretty strong penalties against them if we ever do find out they did break protocol and ruin it for everybody else, or possibly ruin it for everybody else.
And we may never find out. We may never know.
We might not. Other big news, in case you're just tuning in, getting off work, the SEC will play a 10-game conference-only football schedule. They'll move the start back to September 26th. We'll wait and haven't heard from the ACC, who yesterday said they were going to do a 10-game conference plus one and allow for cross-conference games, particularly ACC and SEC. But that's not happening now because obviously the two commissioners didn't talk to each other. So that's where we're
real quick, because I want to get into that too, because I've got reaction from some of the SEC ADs and presidents. But Malika Andrews, ESPN, just tweeted out Zion Williamson will play in short bursts tonight against the Jazz.
Isn't that how they handled his his first game? Now, can we go back and look? What did he do? Did he have a good first game in short bursts?
I thought he did.
Didn't he tear it up in the second? He had a horrible first half and then tore it up in the second half. The only reason I'm asking is for Skittles purposes. I'm trying to figure out, trying to get ahead of the curve, if you know what I'm saying.
So. But most of the reaction from the SEC ADs, I just tweeted out the story, is, you know, they're all on the same page here. They're all saying the same thing. They support the decision. They're upset. They're not upset. They're disappointed in the rivalry games, you know, Kentucky, Mitch Barnhart talking about not playing for the Governor's Cup against Louisville, that kind of thing.
Right.
The Texas A&M Arkansas game is going to go to Kyle Field since they have the designated home team for the season. So that was supposed to be at AT&T Stadium.
All right.
Zion's first game was January 22nd against the Spurs. It was a 121-117 loss. He played 18 minutes. He had 22 points. He had 3 assists and 7 rebounds, 4-for-4 from 3-point in that game.
And that was all the second half because he was garbage when he came out, right?
18 minutes, 22 points. There's not a lot of wiggle room within the 18-minute window.
Yeah.
But, so I don't remember that.
I think he got hot and hit some threes late in
that
game.
Well, again, he was 4-for-4 from 3-point, and he hit 1-2 more before lockdown.
Okay. One other football note, the Big 12, which we still don't know what their plans are, they were going to have their virtual media day on Monday. They announced that yesterday. They emailed out instructions for everybody today and then 3 hours later canceled it. Make of that what you will.
I make that of that they are going to follow suit now with all the other four.
Well, they're not going to start the season
and go 10 games only in the conference. We'll probably know that by the time we get off the. I was right yesterday. I said we know today about the SEC, not tomorrow. We know today. I think we'll know tomorrow before we get off the air. The Big 12 is going to follow suit here and do conference only as well.
And if we're pushing the season back to like the 19th and the 26th of September, then they have. There's no need to rush into one on Monday. My theory was they try to do a virtual Zoom situation, and it turned out to be a disaster. Nobody could log on. But there probably is more to that than meets the eye. So
now the lingering question for me is, will these other four conferences, like the ACC, go one division for just this year?
Right.
Will they all follow suit?
Because the SEC did not say anything about that today.
No, they did not.
But we know that now Florida is picking up games against A&M and Alabama in addition to their already difficult schedule.
Yeah, let's go.
Is that official?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's official.
Okay, so it's the opponent for next season, the two crossover opponents for next year and the following year.
The next two seasons.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Because just so everybody knows, the way that the SEC football scheduling works, you play the other six teams on your side of the SEC. You have one crossover opponent that you play every single year. Mm-hmm. So for Florida, it's LSU. They play LSU every single year. Auburn, it's Georgia. Alabama, it's Tennessee. Then the other six schools from the other division in the SEC, you're on a six-year rotation with them.
Right. All right. Simple enough, right? No.
And if you're – and I could – oh, damn it. I had it – no, I wanted – because there's some – clearly Florida – and it's just unfortunately the luck of the draw here, but they absolutely have the toughest road. They get the two hardest games with Alabama and Texas A&M.
And that's on top of their guaranteed crossover game of LSU every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they got Georgia. I mean, this is
– well, they'll get Georgia every year.
I'm just saying, this is – they've got to be the hardest schedule in the country. At first glance, people going conference only. I would think so.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt.
Sorry,
about
Gator
it.
Fan. I know you're all hoping national championship. You could have 2 losses, 3, 7. Well, but if you win them all, no problem.
If you win them all,
you win them all, you're in, baby.
Your reward is Ohio State and Clemson. Congratulations!
What a schedule!
Yeah,
what a gauntlet.
That may be the most difficult schedule in the history of college football if they can pull that off.
It might be.
They could win all those games.
So I'm curious. I know it's
the
late.
The East is pretty bad, though.
I know it's late in the show. I'm just wondering, Gator fan, is if you're just shaking your head going, oh. Or if you're like, cool, bring it on. Because, I mean, Gator fan thinks you're going to the playoffs this year. There's big expectations for Gator fan.
Well, I think for the foreseeable future, Gator fan should have that expectation. I think that's fair. You look at what Dan Mullen's done recruiting and the turnaround that he's made now that he's got a quarterback that he can rely on.
Yeah.
I think that should be your expectation every year. That should be the expectation for Florida State when they've got it rolling. Miami, if they can ever get it back to rolling, there's enough talent in this state when you've got it working. You should be competing for national championships.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
But now, here a week ago, you were thinking, "All right, we got our schedule, we got a good team, we can handle it." Now today, we're just going to add A&M and Alabama to that schedule that was already fun.
Yeah.
And now you got to be going, oh, that could be a hiccup.
A&M is good. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that A&M will be favored against Florida, though. If you're telling me right now who's better, Florida or A&M, I'll take Florida.
I will, too.
Absolutely. I'll take Kyle Trask over Kellen Mond. Kellen Mond's good.
Yeah.
He's nothing, you know, that's transcendent or anything like that.
Beer League Hockey guy says, we'll see how long Mullen stays. Where else are you going to go? He's not going anywhere. This is where he wants to be.
This is the top
of the heap. There is no higher for him.
He does not want to go anywhere else. He wants to be at the University of Florida.
It's not like Dabo when you're going to leave Clemson and go to, like, there's only one other place for him to go, and that's Alabama, and that's in his contract, by the way. That's it. There's nowhere else for Dan Mullen to go. He's at the top of the mountain. Unless he wants to go to the NFL someday, but I've never heard him talk about that ever.
I've never heard that link.
No.
Even when Dak came into the league and was blowing everything up his rookie year, you'd figure that Dan Mullen, who was his head coach and play caller at Mississippi State, if there was a time for him to have some connection to the NFL, it would have been then.
Gator Nation says, I view this as an opportunity to take the next step. These tough games are how you steal recruits, and you got to beat these teams to be legit national contenders. My only criticism is there's no FSU to beat up on.
You're absolutely right. I agree with everything Gator Nation just said.
That would have been a great game. I do think that the Seminoles are going to turn it around, and that game would be normally be obviously, the last game of the season, right? Or close to it.
No, last game of the year.
Yeah. And that would have been great to see the progress of Florida State and going up against Florida, which would probably be ranked in the top three when they played that game, I think. I don't think it would have been a gimme, let's put it that way. It would have been a lot on the line for Florida State, obviously, and a ton on the line for Florida, too, with a playoff on the berth possibility.
Because it is a rival, you're right, it wouldn't be a gimme, but I don't think Florida State is anywhere near that quickly turned around just yet. They still got some.
I'm saying by the end of the season, those kids, especially they're not rookies anymore. They're going to be, they should be able to be fairly competitive.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but you're going, Florida State's coming off its worst season in 30 years, and the Gators are talking national championship. But that chasm's pretty wide between those two programs.
I'm just saying competitive. I'm saying be competitive. And I think after 10 games, or nine games, I think, I have a feeling, if Mike Norvell is as good a coach as we think he is, that he will have them playing competitive football. That's all. I'm not saying they can beat him.
This was a national program 3 years ago, Florida State was. Mm-hmm. It was there, and then you had an awkward final year with Jimbo Fisher. I guess that was 3 years ago. Awkward with Jimbo Fisher the final year. It's not like Willie Taggart was there long enough to tear the program down to the studs. No, I don't think he did.
Really?
I think he was that poor of a coach.
Oh.
That's what I think it was. I think that there's talent on Florida State's roster. Are they at the level of Clemson or even Florida? I don't think they're there. But they're not far off. If Mac Brown can do it at North Carolina, Florida State can be turned around 12 months from now.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. I thought Willie Taggart just destroyed that program. But
well, he did in more ways than one.
But my point was he wasn't there long enough to where there's no recruits there anymore, right? Like the seniors that are there this year, they were recruited by Jimbo.
Chris, there was
people bailed on them.
They had a time they didn't have a quarterback on the roster. I mean, it was really bad.
They also had a bunch of kids transfer out of there, too, because of Willie Taggart.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think they are starting. But we'll see. We'll see. All right. Coming up, we got What You Got. And don't forget, the NBA resumes tonight from the bubble at Walt Disney World. We got coverage of the Clippers and the Lakers tonight at 8:30. Rockets and Mavs tomorrow night at 8:30. Sunday afternoon, Trailblazers taking on the Celtics. All that to coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What You Got is brought to you by Twin Peaks. You know, today's National Chili Dog Day. You can probably get one over there, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. How about that? 29-degree beer as well. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, and scenic views. I don't know if Pete was oohing and on for the chili dog or if he's watching golf.
I was oohing on for the chili dog. Okay, I just shut the TV off in this den.
Very good.
You shut the TV off?
Whoa.
Well, no, I
did
shut
it break?
In the den. No, I shut it off here in the den. There's another big one that I have probably 40 feet away from me in the living room that I thought...
Shepard's television is off. Oh my goodness!
No, I shut one of them off because I always turn this off right about now at the end of the show. But the other one in the living room, which I can see now, which happens to be on the SEC Network. In fact, Jeff from Columbus, Ohio, is on the phone. So
that was funny. Oh, good times. All right, on this day in history in 1980, Houston Astros pitcher J.R. Richards suffered a stroke. Oh,
I remember that.
Used to love watching him pitch.
He was phenomenal.
Pete, help me out. In 1990, George Steinbrenner was forced to resign as principal partner of the New York Yankees by Faye mm-hmm. Vincent. What was it? One particular incident, or did Vincent just have enough of Steinbrenner, or what?
No, it was a big investigation going on about. I think it had to do with his outside company and funding and monies, and there was a lot of stuff going on with him.
In 1996, Tommy Lasorda retired as the Dodger manager right in the middle of the season. A lot of interesting birthdays today. Henry Ford, 1863. 1890, Casey Stengel. 1928, Joe Nuxall. Think about this for a moment.
Wow.
If you have a teenager right now, Joe Nuxall made his major league debut at age 15. Think about that. 15 years and 316 days old. Joe Nuxall, the old left-hander, former Cincinnati Red and broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Bud Selig was born on this day in 1934. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Bill Cartwright. Chris Mullen, good shooter. We have Terry Crews, the actor, also football player. You know, he played with the Redskins for a little while. Robert Porche, one of my favorite with the Lions. We have Hilary Swank, actress. Graham McDowell and Justin Rose share birthdays today. Hope Solo. And, one other fun fact from the past. In 1874, the first baseball teams to play outside the United States, it was Boston and Philly in the British Isles. How about that?
Really?
Way back in the 1874.
Did not know that.
How about that? All right, Pete Shepard, what you got, even though your TV's off?
Tomorrow, good news. Gabe Morenci is going to join us at 4:30 tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Which we haven't had him on, but now that everything's coming into full swing here, it'd be great to have him on. A lot of stuff to handicap tomorrow. We'll get his thoughts, too. Also, I saw a stat today. One of the casinos in Vegas lost $583,000, something like that, because they weren't allowed to take future bets on NFL and college this year.
Because we don't know.
Or in the NFL this year. So they lost a whole bunch of money for at least a month. Yeah. And to update our Twitter poll here, two of them. Will you watch the NBA tonight? 54% no.
Wow.
46% say yes.
That's so half.
And who would you rather start as a franchise quarterback, Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? This is a, 91% Patrick Mahomes, 9% Lamar Jackson.
So poo-poo on that NFL Network.
Seriously, Russell Wilson didn't even get on the Twitter poll.
No. Disrespect, but yeah, right. All right, very good. Chris, we will see you again on Tuesday.
Yeah.
What do you have for us here?
Yeah.
All right, I don't love anything tonight, but... Come on. I'm not going to sit this one out. Are you kidding me? The pool's opening for the first time all summer. I'm in the water, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
All right, so I've given you two straight winners. Year to date, I'm 26-17-2. That's 57.7%, folks.
Yeah, that's about the big.
That's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Above that is obviously better.
But I'm not below it. Okay.
I'm not below it.
All right.
So tonight, and there's not a lot of breakdown of this one right here. This is just a feeling. I've reached down into my sack of goodies. I brought this up. I'm just going to go out and I'm going to fade the public. I feel like a lot of money is going to come in on the Pelicans, especially now that Zion is going to play in quote unquote short bursts, whatever that crap means.
Yeah.
So I'll roll with the Utah Jazz plus 2 points and see y'all on Tuesday.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Very good.
I like that analysis. I like the Clippers tonight, too, a little bit. Yeah. +5.
I do, too. It's a little scarier to me just because they're missing a few players.
And LeBron, after all
you talking about
time,
the Lakers or the Clippers?
No, the Clippers.
Yeah,
so are the Lakers.
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know who the point guard for the Lakers is right now.
LeBron.
Right. Which ain't bad. Which ain't bad. And LeBron's been chomping at the bit now for 4 months. He's ready to go. Yeah. I don't see him losing this game. But
I didn't say lose. I'm just wondering, can they win by six for opening night? We'll see.
We'll see. Oh, yeah. It's life exciting stuff, guys.
Life in the bubble. All right. So we'll have
baseball. I'm going to throw out a three-sport parlay this evening, I think.
We've got baseball. We got NBA. And what's the third?
MLS.
Oh, that doesn't count.
MLS's back tournament. What are you talking about? Philly, underrated tonight. Love the Union.
I'll stick with the two-sport
Love
deal.
The Union.
Nope.
I'll go Union on the money line, Yankees, Orioles over the 9.5, and give me the Jazz. There's your three-teamer right there. Lock it in. We'll see you later.
Time for you to go on vacation again. For Chris, for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Pete and I will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, Southwest Florida. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.